All right. We're to 14, private shooting preserve bag limits.
So, Mr. Chairman, I think Kevin's going to lead this off for discussion purposes, and then we'll go from there.
Okay.
Yeah, good afternoon, Chairman Jensen, Commissioner Secretary Heffler, Kevin Roblin here again, Deputy Secretary at Game Fish and Parks. This conversation regarding the non-restricted license type for pheasant preserves or hunting preserves in general, not necessarily just pheasant, but quail and other things, has been somewhat of an ongoing conversation for quite some time. Just recently here on June 11th, we held a shooting preserve forum, or it was a Zoom call, essentially. We invited all 229 preserves to be participants in the Zoom call. And we had a good turnout, and we had a really good discussion, too. It was a discussion on a few things, COVID-19 impacts. It was a discussion on this unrestricted license type. We talked about, you know, just overall some of the season structure changes you just mentioned and just discussed here today. So good discussion, but I just wanted to kind of give you a brief background as to where we, how we got to where we are today. So today the department is recommending, in a sense it is, it's an unrestricted license type for shooting preserves. So there would not be essentially a limit on this license type for pheasants. Right now the limit for pheasants starting, it would be September 1st through the end of the regular pheasant hunting season in South Dakota, which is likely the first Sunday of January. Don't quote me on that, but it's usually that time frame, is 20 roosters. So that's the limit as of today. So after that occurs, after that, you know, first Sunday in January, the limit drops to 15 roosters through March 31st on these hunting preserves. So that's kind of how the bag limits and season structure works today. What this proposal, what you have in front of you today, it would create essentially a resident, and it would create essentially a non-resident, unrestricted license type that could be purchased by the hunter, not necessarily the preserve, but the hunter would have to purchase the license to utilize the license to harvest unrestricted number of birds. So this wouldn't impact, you know, preserves per se at the preserve level. This would definitely be a choice by the individual hunter if that preserve wished to participate in the unrestricted license type. So this would work in a sense, a hunter would must have, let's say, a one-day, a five-day, or an annual preserve license, or in some cases, a small game non-resident license. So they'd have to have a license in hand first before they could go purchase the unrestricted license type. So it's essentially an endorsement. We would have to create two new license types, one for residents, one for non-residents, and then it would be an option then for that hunter, if they wish, let's say on the second or third day they're at the preserve or at the lodge and wish, okay, I want to shoot on unrestricted. At that time, then they could go purchase an endorsement of some sort, and that's what this license would be somewhat considered, an endorsement, where then they would be allowed to shoot unrestricted amount of birds. We do have examples of that, like hoop net licenses. You need a fishing license in order to obtain a hoop net license. Paddle fishing, you need a paddle fish or a fishing license in order to, you know, have a paddle fishing tag. So some of those things, it's a prerequisite, I guess, for a license type is the way I would look at it and the best way to probably explain it. A couple other things along with that then, that's the license structure piece of it. But there's some other things we must consider, and one of those things is that the individual to exercise the unrestricted portion of their license in party hunting, because party hunting rules do apply, so that individual, all groups in their hunting party must have that license type. So not just one person could have the unrestricted license type. They would have to have all members in that hunting party carry and possess the unrestricted license type, that endorsement license, because otherwise, you know, you can kind of see the issue here. One person could obtain the unrestricted license, and then everybody could hunt on that unrestricted license. So in order to obtain those party hunting rules and keep that, you know, a little more black and white, we'd have to have all folks in that hunting party obtain that unrestricted license type. That was some of the conversations that we have discussed with the preserves. I know it's maybe a little bit confusing. It is kind of a new concept, if you will. couple things today, though, we'd have to discuss are a fee for that license, for that unrestricted license, if the commission wishes to pursue this idea or at least pursue the proposal form recommendation of this idea. So two things, the license structure, the endorsement type structure of it, of a resident and a non-resident, and then the fee of that endorsement of that unrestricted license type. With that, that's kind of what I wanted to cover. I'm sure there's a few questions about that, regarding that. If there's any questions in general about preserves, I'd be happy to answer those if there is a few. So, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Kevin. Questions, comments?
Commissioner Beast.
Commissioner Beast.
Was this proposal kind of coming from the preserve owners themselves? Or?
Through the chair?
Yes.
Yes, Commissioner Beast, in conversations with some preserve owners, and there has been a desire from a few of them, not all of them, and there's people on the other side of this issue too, but the preserve owners do wish to pursue this idea and do wish to take this to the commission for consideration.
So, Kevin, does it work this way? So if you have a preserve, and now with a 20-bird limit, at some point, there's a per bird price that a hunter pays, and of course, that would be capped currently at 20. So if it was unlimited, a hunter could come in and pay a per bird price to the preserve owner, and now it could be whatever, 75 or 100 or 150. There would be no cap at 20. So, I mean, one part of this is to raise income for preserve owners. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, typically the preserves do operate on a per bird basis. Some operate on a hunt basis as well, where the hunt includes X number of birds, and then on top of that is if they shoot additional birds on top of what the hunt includes, typically it's exactly what you just said. It's per bird basis. As far as the preserves, you know, once a bird is harvested, they do have to purchase a 25-cent kill tag from the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks. So every bird harvested must have kill tags on them, those 25-cent tags. But, yeah, I mean, the preserve definitely, in this sense, would have to, well, likely would charge for any additional birds above the 20. And in some cases, it could be, I don't know, $25, $50. I don't know those rates. But, yes, that's typically what would happen.
Well, we went through this very issue, I think it was before Kelly came. I think Secretary Vonk was still here. And it was pretty controversial. So if this passes, I think we'll probably hear from many, but I guess we're used to that. And anyway, there'll be maybe more than meets the eye by the time we get done addressing this.
Mr. Chair?
Yes. Commissioner Sharp.
You know, I think this hopefully will generate some conversation, because I have heard from some, you know, of our people that really take great care of our pheasants out there, that this type of proposal takes it from pheasant hunting to pheasant shooting. And, you know, I kind of struggle when we go in that direction a little bit. Certainly, would support having some public comment on it, but with some trepidation.
Yeah, it'll be controversial. Other questions, comments?
Mr. Chairman, I think that it's a good opportunity for us to get some public input on this. And, maybe, you know, the public is having the input on it, may not be the end users that we're really talking about here, and providing the revenue to those preserve folks. Again, this is permissive language. There's nothing here that says that all the preserves have to do an unlimited hunt. They can choose not to and market their preserve in such a manner where they say, hey, you get 7 birds here and that's it, and we're going to be more traditional and with the option of excellent hunting and wing shooting. But I had somebody give me the example of, you know, this, like if you're a farmer and you're in the middle of your cornfield and the government comes in and tells you you're only allowed to harvest 150 bushel corn per acre, and you could easily get 200, but you have to stop in the middle, and that's where these guys are at too. There's another revenue source for them. It isn't for everybody, but I think it's definitely worth getting some public comment on.
Kevin, it seems like when we went through this issue before, we had some discussion on that 25-cent fee and whether it should be increased. The proposal that we addressed before was rejected. It never even made it through the proposal stage. But I know that was one of the issues. Has the department looked at whether that fee is appropriate and should be increased?
Yeah, no, that's a great point, Commissioner Jensen. And actually, the fee was changed in 2009. That fee was 5 cents per bird, and it went up to 25 cents per bird. So that was the last time that fee has been looked at or at least amended. It was 2009.
Was that consistent with when the limit changed?
Yes, it was. The commission changed the maximum daily limit for pheasants at that time as well. It went to that 20 range during the season, and then it dropped to 15. So that would have been 2009.
Is there any way to compare what we charge with other states who have preserves like this?
You know, we could do an analysis like that. I will say we are one of the only preserves, one of the only states in the country that has a limit on preserves. Most preserves are unrestricted, but we do have, obviously, the 15 and 20 bird limit. But, yes, we can look at that, absolutely. We do have number of, days hunted that I want to say 19 preserves last year actually harvested 16 or more birds. So they took advantage of that additional opportunity where it went, from 15 to 20 or 20 to 15, I should say. 19 preserves did hit that 16 bird or above limit. So there's some data out there that we definitely can share with the commission. We can provide a more detailed presentation with those data at the next meeting for sure.
And this is kind of related, but maybe more unrelated, but you and Kelly and I were at that Habitat Fund meeting where somebody suggested that 45,000 pheasant hunters were preserve hunters every year in South Dakota.
Yeah, and that sparked our attention for sure. And actually, we're looking at that number in pretty good detail. And there was some reporting discrepancies where those were actually number of man days hunted in a sense. So a hunter could have came back a second or third or fourth time, which they would have been counted three or four times. But that 45,000 number does include the number of visits or man days to a preserve. We're trying to now tease out the individual hunter number, and that is going to take our staff some time. Staff are in the middle of that as we speak, I'm sure, and that is a very large data set to get through because a lot of it is not electronic. It's mostly all the hunt records. A lot of those hunt records, I think 70% of them are all done still with pen and paper. So
I'll quit after this, but wouldn't it also be, those who want to advocate for this might say, well, for every bird that's taken at a preserve, the preserve owner has to buy, can you refresh me on how many do they have to buy, which then I wonder what percentage of that might get out beyond the preserve and be available to the public, which might get to explaining some of the numbers that Travis was talking about earlier.
Yeah, so just last year alone, preserve operators on the 225 preserve permits that were out there released right at about 500,000 roosters. So that's a pretty large number. In order to even get a preserve license, first-time preserve owners must release 300 roosters, and then those folks that are in the business for more than 1 year or the next year, I should say, they must release 600 or more birds. 600 is the actual, threshold. So 600 birds must be released. But there are many operations that release thousands and thousands, and some just release the 600. There's a broad spectrum of sizes, clientele, so it isn't a one-size-fits-all approach for sure.
Okay. Thanks. Any other questions or comments? We'll need a motion of some sort.
Commissioner Beast. Kevin, on when you say birds, is that roosters that they're mandated to release or hens?
Yes, good point of clarification. Those are roosters.
We're trying to mandate they're doing releasing birds. Why don't we mandate they release hens to help supplement the natural population? And then they have to release their roosters for their clients if they need.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, we don't mandate that, but a lot of preserves do release hens, actually. You know, a lot of them do just to make sure, you know, some hens get up during the hunt and make sure that the opportunity for some maybe reproduction is there. There's a lot of differing opinion on how much released birds can contribute to the actual reproductive performance of pheasants and how good they survive winter and how successful they are at raising a clutch of eggs. But those data haven't, you know, been thoroughly, well, they have been looked at quite frequently back in the 70s and even the 60s, but I haven't seen a lot of research on that lately. But, you know, there's definitely room for that conversation as well. And we can provide those data, the data we do have on the reproductive success of pen release birds as well.
Just one quick comment. Pheasants were introduced, so that's where they come from, was raised released birds.
Absolutely. Yep. It's a great point.
Any other questions or comments? Somebody want to make a motion?
I'll make that motion.
I'll take that as a motion to approve the proposal. Is there a second?
Sure.
Any discussion? If not, we'll vote. Rachel?
Heath?
Aye.
Boyd?
Aye.
Locken?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sharp?
Aye.
Spring?
Aye.
Whitmire?
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
All in favor.
Okay, let's see if we can't get through the proposals yet today. So there's...
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Sure.
If we could follow back up on the preserve proposal on page 36, I failed to mention the fee structure piece of it. We didn't talk about what that fee should look like pertaining to both the resident and non-resident. If we could just get some ideas from the commissioners as to what type of, you know, fee that we could use towards habitat programs and habitat enhancements. That's what those license dollars would be used for. So it would be a license fee, but on the proposal sheet, we do not have a fee listed because we wanted to have that conversation with the commission.
If you just need, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
If you just need some ideas, you know, I've been thinking about, you know, what's simplest and what we already have in place, and it may or may not get past our legal counsel or make it some of our lobbyists nervous after the last session, but why wouldn't we just take anybody that wants to participate in the unlimited and put them at the regular non-resident charge that we have in place right now for people that want to hunt on private or public lands, and then make it mandatory that they also purchase the habitat stamp. I think that would get us $70 or $75 more in revenue. We would show great outreach for those the habitat dollars and the habitat fund that the habitat stamp is going to work for, and makes it simple and takes the bureaucracy out of it.
Yeah, no, that is something actually we talked about, Commissioner Olson, with John Kotelnik. And John, if you want to just shed some light on some of your concerns there, that'd be good.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, again, for the record, John Kotelnik, staff attorney. Commissioner Olson, we definitely talked about that and explored that idea, and it would be ideal. I mean, it would work really well, but for the statute that was passed to authorize the habitat stamp had a specific prohibition of requiring a habitat stamp to hunt on a PSP. So I'm just not sure how we would get around that statutory requirement. I mean, I can certainly do some more research if you want, but, you know, when we first had our initial conversation, then I looked at this a couple of weeks ago, I didn't see a way around it then.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I can't further research the issue, if that's one of the routes you guys want to propose, but as an alternative, maybe have a secondary idea out there as far as a fee.
Yeah, Mr. Chair?
Yes, sure.
And I don't want to be argumentative, John, but as you know, July 1, when the laws go into effect that the last legislature passes, their open season for this new batch of legislators that are going to be coming back to peer next year. And again, I think that those were probably negotiated in by preserve owners to not want to participate in that habitat stamp. And I think the ones that want to participate in the unlimited shooting would more than happily pay that or require their guests to pay that habitat stamp on their behalf to be participate in this program. We can find out. I will hear very soon from them if they're not willing to do that, but I think that that's just an easy plan, and to me it sounds like a slam dunk.
Commissioner Olson, we'd be glad to take another look at that, and we definitely will look at some of those options. Just so I'm clear, though, the endorsement piece, essentially that license would be that habitat stamp. Is that kind of what you're thinking?
As far as the gateway to that, well, and plus there's the different charges in there from the preserve license to what the non-residents pay.
Well, that license fee is actually the same. So a small game non-resident license, that I think it's $126 or something like that, is the same fee that people buy on and off of preserve. And if somebody were to buy that non-resident small game license, that license is valid on the entire preserve, during the entire preserve season. Even though it's only valid for 2 5-day periods off of preserve, it's valid for the entire preserve season. A preserve license, there's a 1-day, a 5-day, and an annual. Essentially, those are different tiers. I think it's $46, $76, and then I think the annual is the same price as the non-resident small game. There's a few options there for preserve hunters to purchase, depending on what type of trip they want to plan to hunt. Is it just a preserve? Is it 1 day? Is it 5? Is it on and off a preserve? Those types of questions. So if we were to do the endorsement, the $25 habitat stamp, we could add it to the 1 day, the 5 day, or the annual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would be how I would see that happening, I guess.
I would agree with that.
Okay.
Honestly, if they're going to come in and go over their 20 and they're paying $30 to $50 a bird, in addition to that, the $25 on the front end is not going to matter to them. Easy way for us to track habitat stamp increase sales too.
Yeah, if it's purchased with a preserve license, that would be, it would be, yep.
Maybe it should be higher. I don't know.
And again, Mr. Chair, I guess that was something I was just kind of throwing out there too. Again, if the idea of requiring the habitat stamp for this enhancement, if ultimately, you know, we conclude that it's just not legally feasible, is there another price out there that the commission wants to throw out for public comment or
could we do this? Could you give us a sheet with listing all these pertinent fees and how they apply to preserves and who has to buy what and what they currently are? And
yes,
I assume the department has a couple options too. We could put Russ's option on there, and if you guys have one or two or three. I mean, it seems like we might be at the end of the day, and it's kind of hard to get to something on this particular issue.
We can definitely provide that list for tomorrow's meeting, circle back, and have a little more time to provide a proposal, if you will, of those prices.
Is that okay, Commissioner Olson?
And it's me. I just wanted to help out and throw out an idea just to keep the conversation going.
Sure. No, I like the idea, and we'll make sure that one's included, so thank you for that.
Yep.
Absolutely. Thanks, Commissioners. Appreciate it.
Okay. On the preserve fees?
Yeah, that'd be great, Mr. Chairman. Chris, you want to pull that up? Good morning, everybody, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Secretary Heffler. Just to kind of continue the conversation we left off with yesterday regarding the unrestricted preserve license fee proposal. Actual slides, Chris. And just wanted to say thank you for you know, the continued conversation and also some of the suggestions we received from a couple commissioners after the meeting occurred. So what we did here is we put together our current fee structure, and then we also then have just what it would look like or our proposed fee structure, and then kind of some revenue projections based on some of the data we do have. So once Chris gets that pulled up, we will jump into it. Chris, you can just jump to that first slide right away. That'd be great. There's only three slides here, so. All right, perfect. I think everybody can see that. So right here is on the top table is our preserve license options for residents. If residents wish to hunt a preserve, these are actually the six different license combinations they could have in their possession to do so. You can see the license cost there. You can also see if a habitat stamp is required or not required, and then the total cost, you know, as the package is accumulated there. So quite a few options for folks. You know, I would say we don't have a lot of great information on what license is mostly preferred by our residents when it comes to hunting preserves. And preserve hunters are predominantly non-residents, so not a ton of participation there from residents, but they can use any of those different license combinations to do so. If you go down below there, that's the table of preserve license options for non-residents. These options do include the agent fee. It's $4 for residents, $8 for non-residents. The vast majority of our preserve hunters do use that five-day shooting preserve license, which is $84. However, like I was talking about yesterday, a non-resident can buy a small game license, the same small game license that allows them to hunt on a preserve and off a preserve. If they're off the preserve, they get 2 5-day periods. If they're on the preserve, they actually can hunt throughout the season with that license. And that is $154 once you add that habitat stamp. Now, a hunter now could buy an annual shooting preserve license and not be required to have the stamp, which was $25 there, as you can see in the yellow. Why I highlighted that non-resident small game license number there and the actual total cost, the $154 is, we were looking for a benchmark, actually, as to what a good place to start would be for the unrestricted license fee. So $154 would be what it costs for a non-resident small game hunter to come in South Dakota and hunt pheasants. And we kind of use that $150 concept then as a place to start for the unrestricted preserve license fee. And if you want to go to the next slide, Chris. So here's what this would look like in the table. And this is dependent upon if the commission wishes to keep that restricted, unrestricted license fee the same for residents and non-residents. In these two tables, I did keep them the same. It's up to the wishes of the commission as to what they would like to do with it, though. But just to give you an idea of what that $150 preserve license fee would be, unrestricted preserve license fee would be regarding the total package of the hunt or for the license. If you look at residents there, you kind of have a range between $159 to $219, depending upon what type of license it is. But if you have that annual small game, it's going to be about $200. If you have the combination, it'll be about $219. And that's the package for residents. Now, going down below for the non-resident, this would include the agent fee. Again, that five-day shooting preserve license is the most popular license type. And we have a fee of $84 because of the $8 agent fee on top of that. So we're looking at a package total of $234. That would include then the five-day shooting preserve license and then also the unrestricted preserve license fee. Again, this is just proposal form, just to give you an idea of what that total package would be. If folks were to go and get a non-resident small game, allowing them to hunt on a preserve and off a preserve with those 2 5-day periods, that license package would be $304. So So that's what the $150 proposal there. Chris, if you want to go to the next slide, one of the questions, you know, that was asked is what potentially could this generate for revenue? And we have some data that kind of indicates, you know, gives us a ballpark figure. Now, we do need to take this data and get it down to the individual hunter level. Right now, we have hunt days quantified. I'd like to know the individual level, and we'll get working on that in the next 60 days over the public comment period. But we have 19 preserves averaging 31 hunt days over 15 birds. So what that means is between those 19 preserves, there was 31 times 15 birds or more were harvested. So I'm going to use that figure to try to get us an estimate as to how many folks might be interested in buying that unrestricted license on the preserve. So in 2018-19 season, we had about 589 hunter days that folks harvested more than 15 birds. So there's not a lot. I mean, there's a pretty good number, but there's not an astronomical number, 589. So let's assume for a minute then that half of those hunt days became hunters, which would equate to about 295 potential hunters, because the hunt days doesn't necessarily mean they're individual hunters. It just means they're individual days. So I'm going to divide that number by two. We have 295 potential hunters then purchasing an unrestricted license. With this revenue projection, at 295 individuals times that $150 proposed fee that we just talked about, we'd be looking at a revenue projection of about $44,000. One thing, too, we talked about, you know, the department would recommend all this money that we generate from this license fee from the unrestricted preserve license would go directly towards habitat improvements on public land. Very similar to the conversation Kelly just had with Hunt for Habitat, this would be the same concept. We'd like to continue adding fees to that pot of money because there's a lot of work to be done in our public lands, and it's just a great place to put that money to work. So with that, commissioners, this is just the proposal. I just wanted to put some numbers on paper here for you this morning so we get a better idea as to what this might look like moving forward. So with that, I'll answer any questions.
Any questions, comments?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Commissioner Olson.
Thank you. So Kevin, maybe remind everyone if these were the static numbers or the numbers going forward, that $44,250 would go to what? Would that go to administration? Would it go to overhead, or does it go into habitat? Tell me the types of habitat we're trying to gear in on for that.
Yeah, great question, Commissioner Olson. And the money here would go towards, it would go on our licensing pool, but that licensing pool of money, the general licensing pool of money, could then be earmarked directly towards habitat improvements on public land. So food plot plantings, woody development, you know, plenty more trees, because I love trees, everybody knows that. You know, getting things back into native grass, habitat improvements on public land in particular, and in particular on our game production areas. And that was kind of the proposal we're throwing out to you today, is those dollars would be earmarked directly for habitat improvements on public land.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Commissioner Sharp.
Mr. Sharp here. Kevin, good presentation. I guess the fee proposed or just used for this example seems a little ambitious. I know when we've looked at various fees in the past, a fee of this level would have been, you know, met with a lot of pushback if we were using these same fees at the big game level, for example. So I guess I was surprised to see something so robust, thinking that maybe we were going to come in with, you know, a $25 or $50 fee to do these types of hunts. So once we cross this kind of threshold, there's going to be a certain amount of expectation that as we look at fees in the future, they're going to be probably at least this high, if not higher, for some of the other things we may be proposing down the road. I don't know if that was in the form of a question or a comment, but it just seems that we're ramping it up a little bit high at this point in time.
Yeah, and it really is a starting point. You know, and there is, the fee is, you know, again, going back to that $154 for the non-resident small game license, you know, and a hunter can actually purchase unlimited number of those licenses throughout the year as a non-resident. So if a non-resident wants to hunt South Dakota, every day and shoot three roosters off preserves, they could do so, but they'd have to continue buying those non-resident small game licenses. So that is kind of where we got the $150 starting point. But then again, I mean, this is just a proposal form, and it's up for the commission to weigh the pros and cons of that proposed fee.
And Gary, this is Kelly.
Yeah.
Commissioner Sharp, I mean, the other thing, I mean, the intent, this thing all started, you know, besides giving us more leeway to small businesses to make money, but also the intent truly was to do something for habitat. And so you have to figure out a fee that's meaningful. And if you know, if you're just talking $5,000 to $10,000, I mean, it's all money. It'll all be put on the ground. But that's the other thing. And it is a balance. And we talked about this last night, and we talked about it briefly with Commissioner Olson, is that, you know, we have no idea where the puck's going to go with this. I'm sure you're going to hear it on both sides. There's no question about that. We just wanted to have a dollar amount, which we could put some kind of rationale behind. But obviously, it's your call in the end, and you can put a range in there, or you could have no fee. It really depends on what you want to do. But our intent was at least get enough out there that we can come back and say we meaningfully made a difference in the habitat on the ground.
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Sharp?
Completely understand. I support the proposal. Don't get me wrong. It's just that once we've kind of crossed this threshold, so to speak, this is going to be what most other fees and things we start looking at are going to be measured against. So as long as we're prepared for that conversation down the road, I don't have any problem with this proposal.
Other questions, comments? Kevin, the other fee we talked about briefly was that 25-cent per bird fee that got changed when we went from whatever the limit was to the current limit of 20 pheasants. Is that going to get reviewed? I mean, I don't remember if that fee is to cover administrative costs or if our costs would go up if we have this new program, or how do we look at that fee?
Yeah, that fee is in place to cover the administrative costs of, you know, we do have preserve inspectors, if you will. We have a full-time employee, and then we have a seasonal employee. But that is pretty much what they are charged to do is review the records and continue making sure these preserves are following, you know, the rules and regulations that are on the books. Right now, it is pretty consistent with a net zero. What we are putting in is what we are getting out, in a sense, and we might be getting out a little more, but it's very consistent with that. I mean, it is administrative costs. Now, we could review the 25 cents. At the end of the day, though, that's obviously in rule, and it's up for the commission to decide that as well. But I would say that that was put in place just 11 years ago. That fee seems to be working fairly well, as covering the administrative costs of the program itself. And, that's what's out there today.
Do you think those costs would go up, administrative costs, if we adopt this program eventually?
It depends this program in particular would require a little more record keeping, in a sense, but I think it would definitely not increase our administrative costs exponentially or increase it, you know, significantly. Let's put it that way. If we were to do like a different type threshold, let's say they shoot five birds over 20 or 10 birds over 20, and there's different thresholds of fees there, then that would be more problematic in record keeping. And that would require some more rigorous record keeping on the staff's end. That would probably increase administrative costs more than anything. The flat fee is probably the simplest for implementation, because at the end of the day, we don't need to keep track of exactly every single bird that gets harvested or anything like that. It's just a flat fee, and we'd be able to kind of move forward from there.
Okay. Any other questions, comments? Any motions?
Any questions, Mr. Chairman?
Commissioner Olson.
Would this be a double barrel deal? I mean, you know, yesterday we talked about, and I offered up a suggestion for a fee structure. Is this a standalone then, or are we looking at putting both of them out there? What are we thinking here?
Yeah, no, we absolutely could. It would be, you know, on top of, let's say we reduced the flat fee to $100 and then we required a habitat stamp purchase or something like that. We could do that as well. We can't require anybody, though, you know, as far as it's not a requirement to purchase a habitat stamp of honey on a preserve. But, you know, at the end of the day, there is combinations of this that we could do. The department would recommend a flat fee, I guess, but if there is a desire to require folks to purchase a habitat stamp to hunt an unrestricted license, maybe it's even on top of the 150. I mean, that's something for the commission to decide here. Again, the entire effort of this, though, is exactly what Kelly mentioned, to raise more money for habitat.
Mr. Chair, if we need a motion, I would move to approve.
Okay, thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Any more discussion? Not
Chairman Jensen?
Yeah, Commissioner Spring.
With these fees going up, would that in any way affect how many people would come? Or these people probably have the money and it wouldn't matter, or would it restrict the numbers coming in to do this?
Mr. Chairman, that, if you may.
Sure.
Spring, that is a great question. And at the end of the day, this would almost be almost a completely voluntary type license to purchase, because they could obviously continue purchasing the 1-day, 5-day annual license just as they do today. So that wouldn't impact, you know, 99% of the clientele regarding those folks that do hunt preserves. Now, if there is an interest, let's say, to harvest an unrestricted number of birds at a preserve, let's say they're in the second day of their hunt and they're around the table having dinner, and one of them says, hey, that'd be cool to shoot more birds than we did today, or shoot more than 15 birds or more than 20 birds. This license opportunity would allow them to do that. It would remain to be flexible. So they could then say, all right, we're going to get the whole hunting party to purchase the unrestricted license for that additional $150, and then they could do that next day. So I don't see it necessarily being an impediment to getting folks to come into South Dakota, because they're going to have these options on the table without this license structure. But if they want to use this license, they would have that opportunity to do so.
Any more questions, comments? Not, let's vote. Rachel, will you call the roll?
Steve?
Aye.
Boyd?
Aye.
Locken? Oh, he's out, sorry. Olson?
Aye.
Sharp?
Aye.
Spring?
Aye.
Whitmire?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
All in favor.
All right, thank you. One more subject and then we'll